Are you a man looking for an intensive program to help you overcome your sexually addictive behaviors? Gateway to Freedom is your answer. Gateway to Freedom is a 3-day intensive workshop for men seeking to overcome sexually addictive behaviors. Whether married, single, or divorced, Gateway to Freedom will help men regain hope for a new life of purity and real contentment. The workshop is conducted by experts in the field of sexual addiction recovery. Your experts have over 35 years of combined experience. Read testimonials of workshop alumni at gatewaymen.com. Get all the info and register online at gatewaymen.com or call 1-800-49-PURITY.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Daugherty, founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop, and I'd like to personally invite you to learn more about how you can be involved in this powerful 3-day intensive. The next Gateway to Freedom Workshop is coming up March 12th through the 14th. So call us today at 1-800-49-PURITY or visit us at gatewaymen.com.
Welcome to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Are you ready to get real and start living each day in purity? This dynamic program is designed to educate, encourage, and equip listeners with the tools necessary for living a life of sexual purity. Pure Sex Radio brings you the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real life struggles, learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction, and get serious about purity. Your hosts for Pure Sex Radio are Jonathan Daugherty and Stephen Cervantes. Jonathan is the director of Be Broken Ministries and founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop for Men. Stephen is the founder of the Hope Counseling Center. Visit us online at puresexradio.com. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Stephen on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. It's good to have you here with us. We're glad that you've decided to listen. You know, we are a listener-supported broadcast, which means that we can only continue to do what we're doing through the prayer and support, financial support of those folks just like you. So if you've been impacted in a positive way and feel like we're doing a good work for the kingdom and helping a lot of folks that are really struggling with secret sexual sin to come out into the light and really begin to walk in purity, we'd love to hear from you. We love to get notes. We love to just see what our listeners are up to. So feel free to go to our website at puresexradio.com, and you can click on the Make a Donation link and learn all about the different ways in which you can support this really important outreach. You know, it was exciting because we get monthly reports about what's going on in terms of where the podcast is being delivered and listeners and all those sorts of things. And it was neat because we ended the year 2009 with having listeners in over 65 countries around the world, which is just really amazing to me that this little broadcast is being distributed all around the world and helping people from all walks of life. So if you support us, that's what you're doing. You're sending this message out into the uttermost parts of the earth with a message of hope and healing, and we are excited about what we're doing. So, Stephen, we're going to get started this week. By the way, my name is Jonathan, and I'm here with Stephen. So how are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. Well, we're going to continue with our issue from last week when we were talking about avoiders and this idea of attachment and detachment. And so this week, Stephen, I guess we're going to take it a little bit further, a little bit deeper, to where we're going to hopefully help our listeners know how they can actually help an avoider attach. So why don't you take us away?
Great. And so we're using material from How We Love by the Yurkoviches. And so we want to give them credit because they have some outstanding material. But you and I both know that we've been working with men for a number of years that come to our groups and our seminars, and they are excellent in the area of detaching. They have mastered the skill of staying disconnected. and they are able to say I do and get into a marriage, but then they say I don't to attaching and bonding and closeness. So they're fully half prepared for a marriage. They can say the right words and they can make their body show up. But these men that we find underneath, when we peel back a sexual addiction individual, we find a man skilled at the and with expertise in the area of detaching, avoiding, disconnecting, distancing from intimacy. And yet we have wives and families needing this very man and him keeping everyone at arm's length. And then because that's too lonely a prospect, he needs to supplement his empty life. And so he finds porn and fantasy and sexually inappropriate behavior to enhance a lonely, detached, married life.
And I sort of get to make this broadcast a little easier for you because I'm sort of the poster child for the avoider type. And so therefore, any examples that you want to draw from real life, you can just point over here and say, it's your turn, Jonathan. Tell us what it's like.
That's why I love this topic. I don't have to do any preparation.
Exactly, yeah.
I can just ask Jonathan questions.
Yeah, probably as you were doing your notes, you just had me in your mind saying, okay, now what would Jonathan do?
So you go to the dictionary, you look up detached men, and you find a picture of Jonathan smiling.
Exactly.
I appreciate your sense of humor, Jonathan.
I'd like to say that I'm a recovering avoider.
There you go.
So I'm not where I was 10 years ago, but I still, you know, and that's one of the things we talked about in the last broadcast is there can be great momentum that is gained in a guy's sexual addiction recovery where he's seeing behaviors cleaned up. He's even seeing some thought patterns changed. But there
his rituals change.
Yeah.
The way he lives his life, his spending his money, his discipline. Boy, there's changes on every front. But
there's something about this attachment, these attachment issues that just they're woven into the fiber of a person's being. And I think it just takes it's a lot more difficult to heal from these sorts of attachment disorders. And so that's why we really want to try to go a little deeper and maybe help folks who, if what we've been describing as we've talked about avoiders, you've had a person or two pop into your head. Maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a family member. This broadcast is to maybe help you understand how you can come alongside that person, understand them better, and maybe even help them move toward a place of real healthy intimacy in their relationships.
If we can help an avoiding man, we can help a marriage.
Absolutely.
And if we can help that marriage, we can help children. Mm-hmm. And we can change the face of a family. And so even though we're going to come back to this topic from time to time, it is absolutely critical that we help men bond better. Because even though we talk about pure sexuality and sexual addiction on this topic, you could substitute it for an alcoholic, a gambling addict. Mm-hmm. You just go down the list, drug addicts, workaholics, spendaholics, name them all. Underneath them, you're going to find a detached man or an attachment wound not healed. So men need to learn healthy attachment. And now, you said a minute ago you're a recovering avoider. Then I also have to come out and confess I'm a recovering pleaser, because there's four categories: the avoiders, the pleasers, the controllers, and the victims. And we have been emphasizing avoiders because we see that over and over again. Mm-hmm. Now, here are some basic thoughts about men who are avoiders. And this applies also to females that are avoiders, because, you know, it's like 80-20. 80% of the time, it's the men who are avoiding in a relationship. But 20% of the time, you can have damaged women that don't want to come out and engage. They've been hurt, wounded, and it's too difficult to come out and risk emotionally. So these are shut down people emotionally.
Would you say that split is reversed for pleasers? Would you say that maybe it's an 80-20 split the other way for the
yes,
pleaser
yeah,
category?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
So 80% women are typically the pleasers in a relationship and 20% men
Yes, I would say that. But then we got to leave room from controllers and victims. But your point is that men can use anger, and they can use work, and they can use a lot of things, not necessarily nice social skills. That's what mm-hmm. pleasers do. But I think your point is well made. Avoiders are emotionally wounded people. They've come from a past that lacked some ability to go and find them and get them and draw them out. Now, do we want to blame parents? No. What's the point? Parents did the best they could. But detachers were not invited out to attach. Nobody wanted them to come out and attach. So they hid inside themselves. Maybe it was their own perception that nobody will understand, or I'm not worth it, or you could scare yourself and say, well, just keep it to yourself. And that's just practicing holding a wound, not sharing, and opening it up and cleaning it out and living alone with it, which is a detacher. So avoiders have experienced some sense of woundedness, and they fear true intimacy. Intimacy being closeness, openness, sharing, back and forth, connecting. Now, oftentimes women are better at that, and they use language of connecting and intimacy, and they talk about it, they address it. And men are trained to just suck it up and deal with it and don't cry and don't whine and don't be a baby. You know, all that male training stuff comes into play here. Emotional discussions are often seen by an avoider as like a tornado. Uh-oh, here she goes. She's starting to talk again. She's going down this path. Uh-oh, she shifted on me. Uh-oh, she's changing her tone now. She's getting a red face. Uh-oh, she might start crying now. She's starting to get animated. Uh-oh, what's coming at me next? It's like 2x4s flying around in the dirt. I don't know where it's coming from, but all these emotions all around me.
And I would say kind of on these first ones here, is, you know, when you're talking about being emotionally wounded, having a fear of intimacy, discussion seen as a tornado. As I think about it from my own history, you know, the woundedness, it's interesting because a lot of the folks that we deal with come from good homes in terms of parents that had the best interests of their kids at heart. They tried, they were moral, they were good, they worked, they taught them values. We have a lot of people that come to us, and myself included, that are from that sort of background. So the reason I say that is sometimes the emotional woundedness, we want to be careful of making it seem like it was 100% dumped into this child's life. There's a response that a child can develop. And I think what you said explained it really well for my upbringing, which was somewhere along the way, I got it into my mind that secrets were better than
openness.
Yeah, because I could have these secret conversations in my head that were very deep and very intimate and very close and very connected, but it was also felt very safe in my head because you know who was in control of the other person responding to my conversation? Me. It might have been my dad's image in my head, or maybe a girl from class in my head, but I was still the one controlling what they were saying to me. In real life, if I'm actually having a conversation with Dad, he can say whatever he wants. Mm. There's no control. And so sometimes, so for me, it developed early in terms of thinking, without control, I don't know what I'm going to get. And that's where the fear of intimacy starts. And then that's why one of the reasons I think also emotional discussions can look like a tornado, because I'm not in control. I can't control what this person is going to say and what could be the next thing that comes out of their mouth, because her face is getting red and that can't be a good sign. And she's starting to talk faster and oh my goodness, you know, so there's a control element to this too, I think, that causes a person maybe to want to avoid because it's a guessing game at that point. And they can't predict exactly what's going to happen.
Yes, and you know what's interesting about these emotional discussions that men interpret as tornadoes is that somewhere in the tornado, she will say, and you didn't, you promised and you said and you were going, and as soon as that happens, and you, now all that confusion is fine about somebody else or her, but sooner or later she's going to tell me I failed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's the other reason I don't want to experience these, because before they're over, I will have been told how I failed and disappointed her and I'm less than adequate. And so what she might have thought was a reasonable conversation will flood my system.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah.
So how do you work with an avoider? Obviously, slowly. Because we just said he's got a zero or tornado response, you know, thought process. And so you want to work slowly, and you want to have a long vision for change to occur. Because I'll tell you something, I'm not the same man I was 20 years ago. And, you know, I know something about you. You aren't either. And so that growth occurs over time, and we need a long vision for each other when we talk about change and going through a change and making changes. Because even though we want them to occur quickly, the truth is change is a slow process where we venture out and we hope we feel safe.
Especially when you keep in mind, this is something in the fiber of his being.
Yes.
And so you have to think slowly. You have to think time. You have to think patience. And that's why I think too, Stephen, especially as this pertains to married couples, and that's really primarily who we're talking about here, is you have to fall back on the covenant commitment that you made. Because there are going to be days, even seasons, where you feel like you're going backwards. You're not going forward in this. You feel like he's avoiding more. You feel like, you know, and so there has to be this sense that, I think that's why God made marriage a covenant, because he understands us. He understands that, guess what? Avoiders are going to be drawn to pleasers, and it's going to be a mess, you know? And my wife and I joke about it, but we say the reasons that we think opposites often get married is because it's exactly the way God would have designed it, so that it can only work if we're fully dependent on him. Because there's...
Not each other. Yes. But I would add to that also, do you understand that opposite is the perfect training spouse? Because the pleaser has to learn to get a little tougher and disconnect some. And the disconnector has to learn to connect and please. And so you see that over time, they move towards each other and they have a better, and they know at some level, I need your skills.
And that's just it. I think eventually we understand, we fill each other's gaps is what we do, if we're willing to let the other person fill our gaps.
And I would say we grow each other to that point.
Yeah.
We move in each other. We fight at first, and then we concede, and then we agree. I need more of who you are, and you need more of who I am. And in the end, we're stronger because we went through this dance and refining process.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I do daily is pray for wisdom. I just think things pop in my head that I go, wow, where did that come from? That's just a God thing. And I think, wow, thank you, God, for that thought that just popped into my head. And I think that's an answer to prayer for wisdom. So when you're working with an avoider, please pray for wisdom daily. Now, here is an interesting question that was proposed. If you're going to work with an avoider, why don't you ask yourself, what avoiding behavior makes you the maddest? So you know yourself well enough and don't fire off accidentally, because when he says he's going to be home at 5:30 and it's 7:00 and he hasn't called, that just makes the hair stand up on the back of, I don't know what a good picture is here, but it just makes my hackles, it makes me want to crawl out of my skin. He said, you know what I mean? And he got lost in his work, and he got detached, and he forgot, and he was doing this helpful thing for somebody else at your expense. Know what really, you know, gets your goat. What's the right metaphor? What really breaks you down, you know?
Well, what makes you lose it?
There you go. Thank you. That's it. You know? Just know what he does that makes you lose it. That's perfect. Because you can't afford to lose it. This man's already half fearful of you because of your tornado responses, and then you lose it, and you practice that, and then you lose him. So you got to know you really well so he can't set you off. You can't accidentally be set off. You can't think by your anger you're going to make him wake up and attach. It doesn't work.
In some ways, it's you almost have to think in terms of doing things in a way that he can't use them as ammunition against you. You know what I mean? It's because I think sometimes what the classic avoider, what he will do is, in that scenario of the guy who said he'd be there at 5, he didn't show up till 7, she blows up at him, and then he, in anger, tells of this altruistic thing that he was doing for this person whose tire was flat, and some of it might be that she's made assumptions. Now, was he in the wrong for not calling it? Yeah, he was clearly in the wrong for having said one thing and done another. But when she comes at him like that, then he is going to fire back, and it's going to be used as a lighter for this big explosive encounter. And before long, what's going to happen is he's going to say, "This is why I don't want to come home. This is why I don't." And he's going to use it as ammunition against her.
That is brilliant.
To avoid even more.
So let's think about this. When a pleaser gets mad and tries to punish an avoider, who wins?
The avoider.
Every time.
Every time. Because he's going to go to his cave and...
he's going to just detach better, and he's going to explain to you why he has to detach and walk away from your mood. And it's funny because he will then beat you with your own mood. Mm-hmm. Look at you. You know why I don't call? Because you act like this. And why would I want to call you if you act like... Look at how you're acting.
Now, the difficult thing for the one who's, you know, the pleaser, the difficult thing is that there's a certain justification in the response by saying, "Hey, listen, if he said he's going to be there, he should be there, right? Are you justified in being angry about that? Sure you are. But we have to think in terms of what will my response produce? What's the combustible combination here?
And what's the goal I want?"
Exactly. What's the goal?
Yes. So number one on our list, we'll make 7 points, is stay calm. Use a soft tone, because they're going to listen to you express your disappointment better if you use a soft tone. And if you stay calm, you don't fire off the tornado. And if you're patient, he can pace with you. And you give them a lot of time to come up with answers, even though they're all lame.
There you go,
right?
Exactly.
Aren't avoiders' answers all lame? Of course, they're wonderfully brilliant and articulate, but they're repetitive and they're shallow and they fall short.
Yeah, exactly.
Go ahead. You got a comment?
I was going to move on to the second one here.
Okay, good. So let me repeat. Stay calm with an avoider.
Mm-hmm. The second one here is you want to give the avoider gentle feedback when they pull away. When they pull away, they're going to pull away. They're avoiders. They're going to pull away. But you want to give them gentle feedback. You can say something like, "You know, you seem far away right now. Could you share some of your thoughts? Try different lines to get him or her to open up." You know, if you keep coming with the same thing, and be very careful of using you statements. Those are attack words. And if you use attack words, guess what avoider's going to do? They're going to flee. They're going to avoid. Think more in terms of invitation words. Could you? Might you? Will you? You know, just sort of like invitation kind of words to get just any sort of conversation flowing. And again, remember, stay calm. So let them, you know, give them gentle feedback when they pull away.
That's good. Stay calm and be gentle, but give them feedback. It's okay. They're adults. You can hold them accountable. You can point out things to them. They may not want to see them. They may not want to hear them. But if you're gentle, they can start to grasp what you're talking about. Number three, let them know that you understand that they have a past and a history and that they needed to detach in the past. But want to challenge them, because just because you detached in the past doesn't mean it's smart or helpful or useful to detach today in this situation. So you'll want to explore with them their history and ask them about times when they felt alone, or they felt ignored, or it was like they were unseen.
So number one is stay calm. Number two is we want to be gentle in your feedback. The third one is let them know you want to understand their history. And then number four is don't discount small efforts. You know, compliment them even on small efforts. Any sort of movement, man, especially, let's say your husband comes and actually initiates an emotional conversation. I mean, while inside you're probably doing backflips and somersaults and just thrill, make sure you compliment him on the small effort. And, you know, keep a notebook to document some of these small changes over time and really pray for God to show you and your spouse new things. Like we said, this is a long process. It's going to take a long time for these things to be, these habits to be changed. And so you want to be able to say, listen, even the smallest efforts, even the smallest changes are in the positive, in the right direction.
Yes, and I think that notebook idea, do you really want to know your spouse? Then, you know, people that write down prayers go back and look at them years later and think, wow, you know, look how faithful God was. And I think change is like that too. We want to say, wow, look how far you've come. You know, I want to remind me and you and thank God for these changes. So number five would be listen for wants and desires that he or she expresses, because they don't often express healthy wants and desires. And when they say them, exaggerate them, remind them, try to follow through and deliver those things, because they're using language, they're expressing their needs, and they're not always in touch with their emotional needs. So you might ask, but make sure you listen well when your spouse expresses a want or a need, because that's the pattern. If he could express healthy wants and needs and they could come true and be taken care of, then he could feel safe and connected. So listen well.
And number six is extend comfort through words and touch, and use non-sexual touch. You know, and try to watch for times that when he or she is stressed and in discomfort, and offer some comforting touch. And you know what? Be playful too. One good thing is that all avoiders aren't, you know, killjoys. I mean, you know, but you have to kind of have strategic moments where you know, hey, now is a time that playfulness is going to draw him out, and be willing to do that. But be willing to extend that comfort through words and touch.
And finally, keep a prayer journal, because you will be growing and your spouse will be growing, and God is about growth and change. And we want to periodically reflect back on what God is doing in your life and in his life. And we want to celebrate growth and change, and the fact that that growth and change is a manifestation of our Father's presence. God bless.
Well, folks, if you've got an avoider in your life, we hope that this broadcast has been helpful in letting you know some ways in which you can draw that avoider out and help them go deeper in their relationships. If you'd like more help, please contact us. That's what we're here to do, is come alongside you and help you in your journey. We're glad you've been with us, and we'll see you back here again next week on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
You've been listening to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Learn more about our show at puresexradio.com. Thanks for tuning in to today's broadcast. We want to hear from you. This broadcast is not possible without the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Our mailing address is coming up. Get your pens ready. You can also contact us by phone at 1-800-49-PURITY. That's 1-800-49-PURITY. Our mailing address for your notes and donations is Pure Sex Radio, 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 401, San Antonio, Texas 78217. Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.